Welcome to Talking Tech. I'm Stephen Jolly, and on the line is Vision Australia Adaptive Technology Consultant David Woodbridge. How's it going, David?
Extremely well.
Now, I notice you're very excited because your favourite science fiction writer, David Weber, has been published again.
Yes, he has indeed. Now, this is a series of books. This is book 7 in the series, and it's called the Safehold series. And it's basically about how a bunch of aliens almost destroyed Earth. We escaped to a new planet after being a long time in hyperspace sleeping. When they were setting up the planet, they brainwashed all the colonists. They then put the church in charge, and they were anti-technology. And this avatar, or as it's called, a Pika in the book, appeared 900 years later and is trying to restore technology and sort of fight the church. Because one day the aliens are going to come back and try and trash humanity again, because they like killing everybody in the universe. So I've been waiting for this 7th book now for, maybe 12 months. So it came out today. It's available in the iTunes store and on iBooks, but it's not available in the Audible.com or the Kindle library yet.
Right, but it is available in the iTunes store.
Yes, it is. Yep, and it's very hard to work today because I've literally got the book sitting in my iPhone ready to read. So it's extremely tempting to think, I'll just see how it starts off. But so far, I've managed to resist the temptation.
Mm. Well, that's very good, David. I'm very pleased for you, and I'm sure everybody listening is too. And another thing that we should talk about, but people aren't so pleased about, is a Google product, like lots of other of those products, where you're trying to register yourself to be able to do something, access something on a website, and they put up this beautiful image of letters, and you're supposed to type them in, and you can't read them if you use a screen reader or if you can't see very well.
Now, for those that know about the audio link that you use for these captures, it's where it actually reads out, or supposedly reads out, the content of that visual image. And if you ever listen to it, you actually can't hear it. It's actually very faint. It's been altered so that Autobot type engines can't listen to it either. And hopefully, if a lot of people keep nagging about it to different people using it, such as Google and so on, then hopefully it'll eventually go away. But I just find it annoying. Mind you, I saw another alternative to it a week or two ago, and that was looking at different blobs on a page that you had to visually identify. And once you identified all these blobs and put the answer in, you could log into a website. So it was another form of authenticating yourself, which would be an absolute disaster for blind and low vision people. So hopefully that won't get off the ground. But this audio capture really does need to go away.
So what's the solution that wouldn't exclude people who are blind or have low vision?
Well, quite a few websites actually use a good old maths problem. So, you know, on the page they go, you know, what is 4 + 5? Or they do something else and it works. Or you do what Apple does and you have what's called a two-level authentication, where you actually sign in and then you get some information sent to you, such as your mobile phone, and then you have to respond via your mobile phone or type in the information sent to your mobile phone back on the website. So, you know, there's no reason to use this audio capture stuff. It came out in 2009. As far as I'm concerned, it's just out of date, inaccessible technology that should really, really go away.
Now, am I allowed to say that the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, I think it is, in the United States, are being obstreperous?
I think they're letting manufacturers and developers get off the hook a little bit, because this, when you read the link on the blog site for our radio program, which of course is http://davidwoodbridge.blogspot.com, what they're saying about ebook readers for the FCC is to say, well, if the ebook reader in question is only a ebook reader and nothing else, so it doesn't have what they called advanced communication services, they don't have to make it accessible to blind and low vision people for another 12 months, which I think is letting people get off the hook a bit. And what they mean by advanced communication services are things like web browsing, video conferencing, camera, all that sort of stuff. So if it's a basic ebook reader, its primary function is to read an ebook, which is what we really want to use it for, then they don't have to make it accessible yet. They're saying, or these developers are saying, or manufacturers are saying it's too expensive. But I just think, you know, it really needs to come to a point where they say, look, guys, you either do it or you don't.
Yes. So the only way to change that is for people to keep talking about it, and hopefully they're talking about it in the States.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Now, RNIB has released a very useful little guide for people who want to use a smartphone.
That's right. So as we all know now, we've got lots of different choices now. In fact, we've got Android, we have BlackBerry, we've got the iPhone, and we've got Windows Phone now, with all differing levels of accessibility for screen reading and screen magnification. But this Excel spreadsheet that was put out by RNIB, and the link in the show notes is via the Media Access Australia article.
RNIB being Royal National Institute of the Blind in the UK.
Indeed. I'm so used to saying that now that I forget that it's an acronym now. That's very naughty of me. Sorry, listeners. But yes, the Royal Institute for the Blind. So the spreadsheet actually lists quite a few different phones, and of course it lists the iPhone, as I said, but it also tells you, especially for Android, what level of Android operating system it has, if it has screen reading, screen magnification. And one thing that popped out for me was the fact that the cheapest Android, which is the Motorola one that's listed in the spreadsheet, it retails in Australia for only $243 and really has some of the, or mostly the same features as the Samsung Galaxy S4, which retails for $699.
Mm.
So if you're not stuck on iPhone and you want to look at, you know, a cheap smartphone that has, you know, talk back the screen reader and screen magnification, then, you know, $243 for a smartphone is pretty good going. But like I said, it definitely does list some samples of some Android phones, where to buy them, BlackBerry phones, which, you know, is sort of a bit hit and miss, the Android ones, and of course the Windows phones. So it looks like a very interesting spreadsheet. The prices are in pounds because it's a UK publication. But as Media Access Australia said, the phones that they mention are also available in Australia.
And just think of pounds as being somewhere between 50 and 60 cents, so just double it and you'll get the Australian dollars. Pretty close.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Now, very clever young 12-year-old has invented a low-cost braille printer, a Lego one.
Yes. Now, this one's basically, so it's not a braille embosser, which I originally thought because I couldn't see the picture. It's a braille writer. So it's like a, you know, a Perkins braille or a Jot or Dot and those sort of ones. And basically this young man got a modification to the Lego set. I think it's called the Storm series, if I'm remembering it correctly. And he modified it so that when you basically access the different braille dots, then a little tack in this case produces the braille dots for those letters. And I think in the article it said the modification cost $350. He then bought some electronic bits and pieces or parts from a hardware store, and all up it's about $400, and he's going to be developing it as far as open source is concerned, so that for particularly for third world countries, they could literally build their own braille printer or braille writer and sell it for $400. And when you consider that, I think I last checked that the, you know, the real quote Perkins brailler was somewhere in the vicinity of about $1,500. Getting a braille writer to produce braille and not have to write backwards like a hand frame for $400 is extremely good going. So I wish him all the luck in the world, and I really, really hope it gets off the ground.
Yes, very interesting. Now, you can give us some tips on how to extend the battery life of the iPhone.
Yes. Now, I brought this up because my iPhone, because I use it a lot, has been losing a lot of battery lately, and I suddenly decided to look a bit further into saving some power. And there's quite a few things you can do. Probably the main three that I should really start doing is you can turn off Bluetooth when you're not using it, which you can do from the control center or Siri, or most of the stuff you can do from Siri, which is the voice recognition thing for the iPhone. You can turn off Wi-Fi if you're not using it. You can turn off the motion, the parallax effect, And of course, that's in Settings, General, Accessibility, and turn that off because that'll actually save a lot of power.
What's that one
you
again?
You can lower your. It's called Motion. So you can turn this thing called Motion. It says either Motion on or off.
Right.
And it's basically the visual, what's called a parallax effect on the screen. It makes it all nice and smooth when it transitions inside and out of applications on the iPhone.
So some of us could have that turned off all the time.
Yes, absolutely. Doesn't make any difference to us at all, really. Screen brightness down to zero. Don't have dynamic wallpapers that are continually updating all the time. And the one that I completely forgot about was you can turn ads off in privacy so you're not getting ads popping up in your apps. And the other one is background app refresh. So rather than apps updating all the time in the background, you can turn that off as well. And the one that I probably don't turn off because I use it all the time, of course, is to do with GPS. So I literally leave that turned on because I also use Find My iPhone, which is based on, of course, GPS, to find where I've left my iPhone in my house. So that's just a few quick tips in this article, and there's a few more on how to save battery power on your iPhone.
I want to go back to the screen brightness one. A feature I use is screen curtain on, so that when I'm sitting on the train, the person alongside me can't see what I'm looking at on my screen. That would have the same effect, wouldn't it, if you put the screen curtain on?
I would assume so. I've actually never asked somebody whether the screen curtain, if it's on, really is the same as turning screen brightness down. So I might actually ask Apple that, and I'll get back to people next week about, you know, if you turn screen brightness on, is it the same as reducing brightness down to zero?
Because it's a very easy gesture to do it. It's just three fingers, three times, I think. I'd have to do it to be certain.
That's right.
It's one of those ones I do it automatically.
That's right. And I've got a funny feeling it's not the same, because you could still have your screen brightness up as far as 100% and still have the screen curtain on. So, but it'll be interesting to see what Apple says, or if anybody's listening and you'd like to let us know, please email me at david.woodbridge@visionaustralia.org, and I'll let folks know on the radio program next week.
Okay, so we'll just give that email address again, david.woodbridge@visionaustralia.org. And David, while we've got a minute, can you just remind people how they can get in touch with your notes from this program, the links that you mentioned, all that sort of thing?
So the website address at the moment for the show notes, if you go to http://, and my full name, David Woodbridge, or one word, .blogspot, and that's B-L-O-G-S-P-O-T, blogspot.com, you'll get all the show notes for this current program and all the previous programs that we've been doing.
It's a great resource, actually, isn't it, for people to be able to go back at any time and...
Correct. And I should say just quickly, if you're using Safari on your iPhone, iPad or iPod Touch, or in the Mac, Safari, if you use the reader function on every article, you can strip away the HTML links and everything else and just get the straight article to listen to with VoiceOver.
Just again, how do you do that?
You go to the reader button on your iPhone at the top left-hand side of the screen, or you do Shift-Command-R on your Mac. And that'll strip out all the web links and images, and you'll just get the article to read on the screen.
David Woodbridge, adaptive technology consultant with Vision Australia, talking to us on Talking Tech. Hope you found it interesting, and will join us again next week. I'm Stephen Jolly.